In the gospel reading today, we hear about our Lord as he is on the Mount of Olives looking down upon Jerusalem, and he wept over the city. This is a holy city that is dedicated to God. It is where the temple of God is located. It is the one place set aside from everywhere else in the world to be the place of God, to be the place of the worship of God. And instead, it was doing just the opposite. It had become very corrupt. The people were far more interested in everything else, even as we hear at the end of the reading of what was going on right outside the temples. The people were buying and selling. They were more concerned about money. They were more concerned about worldly things than they were about God. Right there in the very city dedicated to the Lord. And Jesus wept. And he wept over them because he recognized what was going to happen to Jerusalem. It was going to be destroyed because the people did not know the time of their visitation. But isn't it interesting that the way that he put it, if only you knew what would bring peace. If only you knew what would bring peace. Our world today is in a similar situation, except we can bring it much closer to home, because St. Paul said, you are the temple of the Lord. So we're no longer talking about a city of Jerusalem, which is still the city set apart for God. It's still the city where the temple is to be. But you are the temple of the Lord. And so today the Lord is looking at you and me and saying, if only you knew what would bring peace. And we have to look at our own lives and ask ourselves, if our Lord was looking upon me right now, is he going to weep? Is my life being lived in such a way that it's going to cause our Lord to weep over us because we become so pathetic? Or is he going to rejoice over us because we do know what will bring peace? Because we have found that peace which is only in Christ. Now, if we put this again into the context of what the church has given us for the first reading, St. Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians, the first letter to the Corinthians, talks about all these different things that happened to the people of Israel when they were out in the desert. How some of them were given over to idolatry. They worshiped the golden calf. How some of them had given over to impurity. How some of them murmured against God. Now it's interesting when you look at all of those events that took place. Part of it was right after God freed the people. And remember, they wanted to be slaves instead of be free. There's a far worse slavery that you and I have, and that's what we talk about in the New Testament. Our Lord talks about it, and so does St. Paul, and that is slavery to sin. The people of Israel wanted to remain slaves in Egypt because at least they had leeks and cucumbers and they could fish in the Nile River. And they would rather be slaves than to be free. Our Lord is offering you and me freedom from sin. And how many of us choose slavery instead? We like our sins and we really don't want to get rid of them. We're attached to them. We like whatever it is that we're getting from them and we don't want to give it up. We would rather be slaves than to know the freedom of the children of God. And then we look at what happens a little bit later. After the people had rebelled against God, not simply of the golden calf, but when they refused to go into the promised land because they didn't trust God. Oh, the people there are giants and oh, they're going to destroy us. Really? You watched what God did with the 10 plagues? You watched the Red Sea open? You walked right through the Red Sea, and now you're afraid that God can't take care of the human beings that are there? But they didn't trust him. And so they complained against God. I said, fine, that's what you want. Then wander the desert for 40 years. So here they are by their own choice. They refuse to go into the promised land. They're wandering about aimlessly in the desert. And what do? They complain. As though this is God's fault that they're out in the desert. And God is feeding them every day with manna. And what did they do? Complained. Now I know you and I could sit back and say, well, but complaining, I mean, I'm from Minnesota. That's just part of what we do. We complain about everything. We need to knock it off. We need to start being grateful for everything. Look at everything that God's providing, and all that we want to do is complain and murmur. The people complained and said, we're sick of this disgusting food. Really? You're out in the desert, you're getting water from a rock, and you're getting a miracle every day of all this food that's being given to you. We're sick of it. What are you going to eat out in the desert, do you think? No, but we want to whine and complain because we're human. So God sent the serpents, the seraph serpents, and a whole bunch of them died. They murmured and they complained against God. He was right there with them. There was a pillar of cloud in the day and a pillar of fire in the night. And still they didn't trust him, and still they didn't believe in him, and still they continued to complain against him. And so again, we look at it and say, okay, our Lord says, if only you knew what would bring peace. What is it that's going to bring peace? Oftentimes, we first have to understand what that peace is that he's talking about. We think of peace as simply the fact that there's no war, there's no contention, there are no problems going on. That's not what peace is. Even if we're not at war, we can still be very much not at peace on the inside. The peace that our Lord is talking about is an interior peace. It's a spiritual peace. And it comes only from union with Christ. And that's what our Lord is inviting each one of us to. In fact, it's interesting that after St. Paul goes through that whole list of things, talks about the idolatry, talks about the impurity, talks about the murmuring and the complaining and all those other things that the people did against God, you know what the very next thing he talks about is? The Holy Eucharist. In other words, look, here's the idolatry, here's the truth. Which one do you want? We'll say that we want the truth, but do we? So let me just ask you a simple question. We have our Blessed Lord in the Eucharist, and we know that. We come here and we receive him on Sunday. How often do you go to adoration? How often do you have recourse to Jesus, truly present in the Holy Eucharist? He's there 24 hours a day. Obviously, we can talk to him at home. We can talk to him anytime because he dwells within us. Okay, let's just even take it that way. How often do you talk to the Lord? We grumble against him, we complain against him, and we're really good at that. Why is God allowing this to happen? How long is this going to continue? When is God finally going to do? Oh boy, we've got all of the complaints that we can think of. How about gratitude? How about love? Again, St. Paul tells us that all these things were written for our correction. so that we would learn. Now, there are two ways of being able to do that. One is simply, okay, here are the commands, so we can't do those things. We don't want to murmur against God, and we don't want to be impure, and we don't want to be idolaters, and so on. All right? You can do the right thing simply because it's the right thing to do, and you can still be angry. You can still be miserable. You're doing the right thing, but not really because you want to do the right thing, but because you have to. All that's going to do is make you want to complain all the more. Because I really want to do this, but I can't. But if we love the Lord, we're automatically going to do the right thing. And we're going to be joyful because it's being done out of charity. Not simply because it's what I'm supposed to do, but it's because the love that is there, it's what I want to do. I want to do the right thing because of the love of God and love of neighbor. I don't want to violate anybody because I love that person. I don't want to violate God in any way, shape, or form because I love Him. That is what will bring peace. That's what our Lord is talking about for these people. The very people in the holy city, if they would only love the Lord, then they would serve the Lord, and there would be peace. Now remember, at the time that Jesus was speaking, the Romans had overtaken all of Israel. The 10th Legion was in Jerusalem and surrounding it. So again, you can look at it, here he is in a situation where they're surrounded and infiltrated by their enemies, and our Lord is saying, if only you knew what would bring peace. Jerusalem was destroyed in the year 70. And just as Jesus said, not one stone was left upon another because they didn't know the time of their visitation. Because they were so focused on themselves and not on God that they didn't recognize what God was doing in their day. Now again, you and I are the temple of the Lord. So if that was true for the people of Jerusalem 2,000 years ago who lived in the holy city where the temple of the Lord was, what's he going to say about you and me who are literally the temple of the Lord? We're the temple of the Lord. We're to be a house of prayer. We're to be a place of worship. We are dedicated to God. And how often do we live like a bunch of pagans who don't know God? And we're so upset about so many things, and we grumble and complain, and we're angry, and we're selfish, and we do all these things because we're focused on ourselves and not on God. That's what our Lord is getting at. If only you knew what would bring peace, he said, as he looked at the holy city. So if that's what was going to bring peace to the holy city, it's the same thing that's going to bring peace to us. If we translate that slightly differently, we can say, you know what? If only you would recognize that the Messiah is right there in your midst, and if you would turn to him, if you would worship him, if you would change your life, get rid of the sin and live your life for God, the Romans aren't going to destroy your city. Everything is going to be at peace. You'll have interior peace, and that's going to bring an exterior peace. But they didn't, which is why the city was destroyed. Out in the desert, St. Paul talks about the destroyer who destroyed some of these people because of their disobedience, because of their lack of love for God. So now again, it comes to us, if we will only love him. That's what it comes down to. And think about what's going on in our world today. the great excuse that we hear from all these people, well, I believe that God exists. That's a good thing. So does Satan. Satan absolutely 100% believes in the existence of God. Satan doesn't love God. So if we believe in the existence of God, that's a good start. But St. James talks about that. He said, yeah, you believe in God, that's good, but so do the demons and they tremble. So this is the excuse that people use for not coming to church, for not worshiping God, because they believe that he exists. But if you believe, don't we have to act on that? So praise God. You and I can come here, we can act upon it. We can say, yes, I believe and I'm putting this into practice. Now we need to take that to the next step. To say, all right, if this is what we're going to be doing and we recognize who we are as temples of the Lord, then we need to be a place of prayer. We need to be a place of worship within. We need to be truly dedicated to the Lord, which means loving him and serving him so we can be at peace. And we can bring that peace to all around us. Recognize, look around at what's going on. This is the time of our visitation. It's the time of the visitation for the world. It's the time of the visitation for our nation. But it's the time of visitation for you and me. Do we recognize it? Do we see it? We will only see it if we're united with Jesus. We will only be at peace if the Prince of Peace is truly the King of our hearts. That's what he wants. Not just lip service, not just going through the motions. He wants us to love him and to receive his love. That will transform our lives. That will transform our families. That will transform our nation. That will transform our world. If we will only recognize the time of our visitation and know what truly brings peace.